You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
4 months, 1,300 measures, 700 approved, hundreds of committee meetings, and a pizza and a sandwich or two. Man, oh man, the 67th Montana Legislature has put this regular session in the books. Some of those highs, some of those lows, who played their cards just right? And who are the unsung heroes? You know, from the perspective of the House and Senate Majority Leadership today and the first Republican governor in 16 years, we are going to go over it today. House Speaker Wiley Gault, Senate President Mark Blaisdell, and Montana Governor Greg Gianforte today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
I don't know why, but it seems like it has been a real, real long week. But you know, that might be the case with every week when you guys are public servants in our legislature. They wrapped it up this week, and they have got this beautiful Montana weekend to hang out in. And you do, too. All right? You've hung in there. So take some advice from the Colored Bears and enjoy the go. And thank you for being here. 22 years, that's two decades strong, and working on three Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. Let's get right to it. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte will step in a bit later on. Phone. A lot of work still left for that gentleman, as a lot of measures are going to, they're still on his desk, and some of those unsigned, obviously, but put a lot of measures already in action here, 700 from what I can tell. And let's start off, though, with Senate President Mark Blaisdell and Speaker of the House Wiley Gault as we kind of get their assessment of the 67th Montana Legislature. Good morning, President Blaisdell. How you doing, Mark?
Good. Good morning. It's great.
Yeah, I know. Good to be wrapped up. And Wiley, how about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. And ready to get out of this building and go enjoy this weather.
Man, it's I know the work, and I'm not sure a lot of Montanans do. A fair amount do that you guys put in through the 4 months, and I noticed some of those measures. Thank you guys for this public service. I appreciate that. We'll start off with you, President Blaisdell. Guys went in, obviously, with a mandate from the voters in Montana, a 2-to-1 majority on the Republican side over the Democrats. First time in 16 years you have a Republican governor in the state house. Had a mandate. What did you do with it?
Oh, we did, and it was an exciting time. I think first we were bold in our vision that just like all Montanans that went to work every day, it was our job to come into the legislature, even though there was numerous people that told us not to due to COVID. We set up a plan. We instituted that plan to allow all Montanans, all legislators, and all of our legislative staff to participate based on their own needs. And that was first to execute that. Second of all, it was to open Montana back up for business. And I think going through and putting in Senate Bill 65 to put some business liability protections in for these businesses and truly do a number of reforms for businesses and tax cuts that will help these businesses not have to look over their shoulder at government and what we're going to do to them, but allow those businesses to look forward on how they can expand their business.
You know, Speaker Gault, I'm going to have you comment on that, too, because I think the early pace of the session set the tone. Maybe it was House Bill 65 because the governor wanted that signed right away. We wanted to get, our businesses back open again, and that was one of the prerequisites, along with some COVID-19 management, too. But you had said in your closing speech yesterday about the unprecedented circumstances. Talk about that, and then also I think the fast pace of getting some major bills accomplished early in this legislature.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting start. I mean, especially with the whole change of the committees with Zoom, both from the members and public testimony. So it was kind of a new skill that all the chairmen had to learn to just right out of the gate get started. And then you're right, you know, moving 65 first, and, you know, it was kind of the lead one out of the gate along with 102, which was the Second Amendment bill. So we had two big bills moving right out of the gate early on. So it was definitely a trial by fire for him to pick up, you know, running big committees quickly with all kinds of new technology that we've never used before.
Well, and I know that Senate President Mark Blaisdell can appreciate that. He served as a Speaker of the House and in previous years, the whole trial by fire thing. Mark, did Wiley come to you a time or two? And, well, I'm sure it has to happen because you're you know, leadership. But what advice, perhaps, did you have for the newly elected Speaker of the House?
Well, I tell you, I have nothing but the most respect for Speaker Galt. The House is always a lot more of a challenge. You just have so many more new members and so many more innovative ideas over there and a number of people that have not worked through the process. I think this was probably one of the best working relationships I've ever seen, and a lot of it has to do with that Speaker Galt and I have had a friendship and relationship since 2013 when he was my seatmate in the House. We lived together up here in Helena, and just the ability to talk each and every night and every morning about what each of us were doing and be able to keep on the same page was fantastic.
Yeah, I bet that was pretty valuable to you too, Wiley.
Yeah, no, I know. I always used to joke when I'd come in that we'd have our joint leadership meeting when we rode into the Capitol together and, you know, make our plan, and hopefully we'd get it done that day for just a short pickup ride together.
What was that, an illegal caucus, you two roommating together?
I sure hope not. Yeah. But,
No, of course not. Of course not. Senate President Blaisdell, some of those highs, tax breaks, Second Amendment stuff.
Well, I think obviously when I ran for leadership, one of the first things I wanted to do is, as a Republican caucus, I wanted to see all those members be able to go home with their heads held high. And I think every different aspect of our caucus gets to go home and see wins, from those members that are big into the Second Amendment rights to those that are big into the social issues and the pro-life to the more business-minded members. They get to go home with numerous wins on the business sector, to working with Secretary Jacobson on election reform and election integrity, to working with Troy Downing and his office on the pharmacy benefit manager, the telemedicine, the primary care, direct primary care. I think every aspect of our caucus, no matter what they chose as their number one thing, can go home and say that we had wins.
Speaker Galt, the House bill, the main budget bill, originates in the House. So you had that, and that is really a big weight to carry for the House of Representatives, important for the state of Montana. Can you give us an update on that process and some of the things that you would highlight out of that?
Yeah, it was an interesting one this year because it's usually the main focus. And, you know, it started out that way and everyone wondering where we're going to be. But I'll tell you, when that big federal money hits, that kind of started taking the spotlight. But, I mean, House Bill 2 seemed to, you know, fly right through. Said we passed it the first time, and the second time it came back with 67 Republicans voting for it. I mean, it's a package a lot of us can be really proud of what we did this session with it. I mean, it was we kept it below, you know, inflation and population growth. I feel like we did a really good conservative budget this time around.
Wiley Galt, Speaker of the Montana House of Representatives, a fifth-generation Montanan, rancher from Martinsdale. And we also have Senate President Mark Blaisdell with us, graduate of Flathead High School, attended Flathead Valley Community College, and then 3 years out of high school, a degree in hospitality and business administration. That's no small feat there either, Mark. I'm going to come on back. We've got to break up here in about 5 minutes, 4.5 minutes. And I do want to get some highs and lows, but I kind of want to peel into the tax breaks a little bit, because that was high on the governor's plate. And just talk about maybe that process or the result of it. And it looks like down the road there's still an ability to manipulate that a little bit. And will it accomplish those goals that you guys had set out, making Montana a more competitive state?
Absolutely. I believe it will. Working with the governor's office and his Montana comeback plan, we instituted about $60 million a year in permanent tax relief. We started with the income tax that we're lowering by about $30 million a year for on the top rate there. We took the business equipment tax and were able to raise not only the exemption from $200,000 but up to $300,000 at the end of the year. That's going to take over 4,000 small businesses off the tax rolls. We instituted money into the education funding, into the guaranteed tax base that will push down the permissive levies to the tune of anywhere from $15 to $20 million a year in property tax reductions. We had tax credits for businesses to be able to train their employees. We have the entrepreneur magnet that's going to be able to draw in new businesses with a capital gains reduction. There's just a number of those provisions, and one of the challenges we had is at the federal level with the federal stimulus is, you know, the Democrats put in a provision into that bill that actually hamstrung all the Republican-led states that were looking to cut taxes because of the fact that there are some provisions in how we could cut taxes and risk some of those federal funds as well.
Yeah, and that's still undecided, I know, and the federal government hasn't really done their homework when it comes to how to direct the spending in that stimulus package. Are you guys likely to have to come back and deal with that?
I'm hoping. You know, I feel like we did, you know, pretty well setting everything up that we're going to be able to not have to come back for this first round. But, you know, if the rumors are true and we get another big hunk of infrastructure money coming down, I don't see any way around us not having to come back and deal with that as well.
Yeah, and I'm curious about that. That was Wiley Gulp, by the way, Speaker of the House. I'm curious about that, too, because I've been supporting, I guess, personally, in a journalistic perspective, revamping St. Mary's. It needs serious work there. There was talk about using some of that initial ARPA money and that's a $200 million bill that the federal government has balked on for 20 years. And I'll ask the governor about this a bit later on, but Senate President Blaisdell, apparently that was maybe taken off the table because is there anticipation that the next infrastructure spending package from Washington, D.C. will include St. Mary's?
Well, I do know that there's speculation and discussion that that will be included, but obviously I think it's a lifeline to those communities and that area of Montana and something that's very important. One of the challenges we had with the money is the rules are still coming in, and they're still going to be being rolled out to July, even maybe late till fall. So what we did is we've set the money that we know needs to go into specific areas, business and economic development, infrastructure, broadband, those kind of areas into different silos where we'll then have a commission including legislators and some of the governor's economic teams and so forth to make these recommendations. On the infrastructure component, we have a process in the state that that goes through and verifies these and does a lot of with a ranking system. And instead of having 150 legislators with all their own pet projects, we thought it would be best and most prudent to set up that kind of system where these communities can apply for those opportunities, and then we'll measure them and get the money out as fast as we can.
Speaker Galt, just about 20 seconds to follow up on that.
Yeah, you know, the word St. Mary's was thrown around a lot through all of this, and it was definitely a priority for us. And you know, we early on talked about it a lot, and I know that we're going to do as much as we can because it is a lifeline to those communities. That my Casey Knutson, my Speaker Pro Tem, is from Malta, so he always made sure to make sure that we were talking about it whenever it came up.
I bet he did. Speaker of the House Wiley Gulp, Senate President Mark Blaisdell. It's From Montana for Montana. We're back with more Voices of Montana. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte will come along a bit later on here at about the 9:39 break after that and give us an assessment too. There's still work to be done for him, that's for sure. I think about 700 measures already approved. I can't imagine 1,300 measures, hundreds of committee meetings, and like I say, a pizza or a sandwich or two. Speaker of the House Wiley Gulp is with us, and then also Senate President Mark Blaisdell here on Voices of Montana. Okay, let's Wiley, I wanted to have you address one thing from your closing speech too, and then we'll maybe talk about if there's any lighter moments. I'd appreciate hearing some of those things, and then the unsung heroes. But one of the things that you had talked about, of course, the Second Amendment was big, but you guys did measures to strengthen the legislative branch. And I think we've seen, especially at the federal level, the weakening of the legislative branch, or at least there's too much power in the executive branch. Talk about your comments there.
Yeah, you know, the running joke since I've first started in this is that the Montana State Legislature was just an inconvenience to parking for 4 months. So, you know, it's been a main goal of mine to, you know, strengthen us. Cause, you know, we are here 4 months every other year, so we're not in Helena all the time. And we kind of, you know, it's the ups and downs of a citizen legislature where, you know, we come for 4 months and we all go home and go back to our real lives and kind of forget that we have stuff year. So I think we did really job between the executive and judicial flag that, you know, we're here and, you know, we're an equal branch and, you know, it's time that we get listened to as well.
Mark, one of the things you said in your closing statements too was you thanked your family for those hour long trips to the store. You go in to get a gallon of milk. And because of your position, obviously it's real busy during those 4 months, but in the interim, there's a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of people that want to communicate ideas to you. So thank you for that. Thank your family for us in that regard, too. But you also said that the chamber changes you. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think the Senate, and I've having the opportunity to serve in both, they're both great institutions. I think with the Senate, it's so much more intimate. So many of the members have already been through the fire drill of the House, and you just have that ability to get to know each other on such a different level, both in committee and out on the floor. And I don't think it necessarily changes how you feel or your beliefs, but it changes how you operate and the relationships you build. And to give you a great example of that, Senator Manzella was one of the shining stars. She, at the end of transmittal, she had a tough loss on the floor on a bill that she had been working on parental rights. She picked herself up, dusted off, reached out to some of the members that may have voted against that bill the first time, and she came back with a better bill, got all the way through the process, and is on the way to the governor's desk. And I think that's just one thing that you see in the Senate far much more, and it's just a great example of what you can do here for the state.
Speaker Galt, how are you different after this experience, if you are?
Oh, it has been, the joke that my senator used to tell me is when I first got elected to the position that he said, well, after you're done with this, you're not going to want kids. And so I definitely didn't really embrace that until, you know, towards the middle of the session. But it's been interesting, and I've definitely grown a lot, especially my leadership skills with, you know, 100 different people with different ideas and trying to get everyone on the same page and moving forward. Well, it was definitely an interesting task at times.
I think it's evident that you both try to keep a sense of humor. I think that's characteristic of Montanans, no matter what it is we're facing. I know that can help an awful lot. Were there some lighter moments for you, President Blaisdell?
Yes, there was. There's, you know, I tried to keep a little levity just to keep people, you know, more relaxed out there. And I still remember one day I was going through third reading and I was trying to read them off really quick. And we had a senator that had to step out to go to the bathroom, and usually you have to be there to vote at that time. And I just couldn't believe that, you know, we were right in the middle of voting and he walks out and I couldn't stop laughing, and everybody gave me such a hard time. I think it took us about 15 minutes to get through that, that third reading. But, you know, you got to laugh at yourself a lot in this process as well to keep your sense of humor.
Well, and when you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah.
The Speaker of the House, Wiley Galt, any latter moments?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a lot of floor debates that, you know, we made sure to have on the lighter side between it and, you know, in the halls, in the offices. I know that that's the beauty of this is the friendships you make through it. So, I mean, there was a lot of joking around and hanging out just outside of it. You know, it was a little different this year with the COVID that we didn't have the big dinner. So it was interesting trying to, you know, meet everyone and get to know them in the little bit of time that we were in the Capitol instead of hanging out, you know, around town at night.
President Blaisdell, you're term limited out 16 years, I think it has been, with your House service. and also your Senate service, and thank you for that. Congratulations to. I don't know if you want to have any final thoughts here, but I'm curious about the unsung heroes. I'm curious about the people who don't get the recognition that they deserve. That, as you said, when you get over your skis a little bit, they can pull you back.
Well, absolutely, yes. You know, there's always the legislators that are focused on, but I tell you, the Montana citizens that come up here to staff this legislature for the 4 months, Chief Clerk Marilyn Miller, that's done it for years, all these individuals that help make this, staff our committees and the legislative staff, the countless hours they put in. I mean, it's a true symbol of Montana and the dedication that so many people have that are behind the scenes that that nobody sees. And it's a truly special place to have those individuals involved.
I look around that room sometimes, and there's a stack of papers here and a stack of papers there. That it's literally 2 feet high. And somebody's doing the work to stack that paper and then unstack that paper. So there's a lot of work that gets done. Speaker Galt, maybe there's an unsung hero for you as well, but I also wanted to have you address the relationship with the minority party. Throughout this session, we have alternated between Republican leadership and Democratic leadership on a weekly basis for Friday updates, and I can't imagine the job that the minority party had in trying to get some ideals and some legislation across. You had also noted in your closing remarks that relationship with Minority Leader Abbott was strong and was strengthened throughout this period.
Yeah, you know, I was very fortunate that Minority Leader Abbott and I had a really good friendship coming into this, which that made everything a lot easier. And we were able to be, you know, very open and frank with each other when, you know, the trying times were there. And then we're able to have, you know, just those really frank conversations with each other about, you know, how everything was going to go. And, I mean, it helped so much. I'm so appreciative that Kim Abbott was there. And, you know, it's a lifelong friendship I know we're going to have.
I can appreciate that. And it's the body is less rancorous, I think, than the public wants to think it is. So, Senator Blaisdell, what's the first thing you're going to do? I know you got to take a few days off because it's an intense, and I know that there's sort of a letdown to a certain degree, getting out of that body. What's one of the things that you're going to do first when you say, hey, I've closed the books on this?
Well, you know, it's hard to do, and I sure hope I don't have to completely close the books. But, yeah. You know, just like every citizen legislator up here, which is so neat about Montana, we all have day jobs as well. I'm going to pack my truck up this evening, drive out tomorrow morning, and I actually am opening my restaurant back up tomorrow night for the summer and kicking right into catering season business. So it's get out of a suit and put on my work clothes and get right back to work.
Congratulations. I don't have the name of that restaurant in front of me here.
We have the Vista Linda restaurant up in Summers,
Vista
Montana.
Vista Linda, so. Yeah. That's what I thought. Well, thank you for that. Good luck in business and thank all your employees, too, for keeping things going. And then finally, Speaker Galt, what do you got going?
Oh, it was interesting. So yesterday between boards, I was every time I got off the floor, I was on the phone with my ranch manager. We just started ripping up some ground plants, so of course, which led to tractor troubles and disc troubles, because for some reason you leave a piece of equipment sit all winter, it just doesn't come right back out working the same. So that, and you know, we finally getting green grass, so I got to get home and start branding. So yep, I'm excited to get back to the cows and dogs.
Yeah, I'm happy for you both in that regard. That's House Speaker Wiley Galt, Senate President Mark Blaisdell. Thanks again for your service, guys. Take care. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll have Governor Greg Gianforte on here in just a little bit. First, though, we've got to catch up on headlines. Here's Don Elliott. Just got a late text message here. Mark, I'm sorry I missed you on that, but there's someone there who says, tell Mark I need a number 17 red from the Vista Linda. If you guys are listening, I know Mark is gone, got other interviews to do, and they'll be doing a press conference a bit later on. But tell Mark that a Voices of Montana listener in the Flathead needs, it's not wants, it's a need, a number 17 red from the Vista Linda. I might have to go get me one of those, too. All right, that press conference today at 10:45 a.m. Go to the governor's website. It will feature Governor Gianforte, Blaisdell, and Galton. We're back with the governor in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Great to have you joining us. We'll be talking about mental health, suicide prevention on Monday. There are a number of events that are upcoming this summer I want to kind of highlight. So we'll do that with a number of guests, mental health, suicide prevention on the show on Monday. And welcome back. Here it is, a Friday edition, weekend ahead. Like I say, take some advice from the colored bears and go out and enjoy the go and get on the go, because it looks like it'll be a nice weekend across Montana. Back here with a wrap-up of this session, 67th Montana legislative session. They went 4 months. There was over 1,300 measures. A lot of them improved. I think about 700, according to one count from Montana Free Press, that would have been necessitating a signature from the governor of Montana. And Governor Greg Gianforte joins us now. Governor, hello and thank you. And thank you for being here. How you been?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on. It's, it was nice seeing 150 sets of taillights leave Helena yesterday.
Yeah. And I know they got a lot done. Was that count correct? Over 700 approved already?
We haven't tallied up the rest because we haven't go through the process. But I know I've signed 300 bills so far. I'm really proud of the collaborative work we did, really with Republicans and Democrats, to get substantial legislation enacted to start Montana's comeback.
Yeah, let's start with something that was more recent, though, too. And I know it's important to core values, and that was protecting the unborn. A real celebration for folks who support those core values when it comes to protecting our most vulnerable.
Yeah, life is precious, and it ought to be protected. And I was proud to sign three bills into law to protect the unborn. House Bill 171 tightens the requirements on chemical abortions, requiring a doctor's involvement, which just makes sense. House Bill 136 makes it illegal to abort a baby when it can feel pain. That means that basically abortions after 20 weeks of gestation are now illegal in Montana. And then House Bill 140 requires that anyone offering abortions must offer the young lady access to an ultrasound and the ability to listen to the fetal heartbeat before undergoing an abortion. She doesn't have to watch it or listen to it, but it has to be offered. These are common sense reforms that are going to save lives in Montana.
And I know that there's a lot of discussion about the constitutionality of those things. And I know you are very very thorough, I think, in going through these bills and these measures. What was the discussion about making sure that not only after you put your signature on it, that it can withstand a possible court challenge?
Well, we want to take incremental steps that are going to protect the unborn. And we looked at model legislation from across the country. Many other states are implementing these common sense reforms to protect both the mother and the unborn child.
Got things going real early in the legislative session with that Montana Comeback Plan, which included House Bill 65 and what was that? Senate Bill. Senate Bill 65. And that was getting some business liability protections for businesses dealing with COVID-19 regulations. So I think that set the tone. Also, though, coming out and talking about getting tax reform in the state of Montana, that was adopted rather quick. Talk about those tax packages.
I was really pleased that we got this done. This is central. We need to make Montana's tax policy competitive. And there were a handful of bills here that were, and I'm just thrilled with the work that the legislature did, because we got all of our major initiatives through.
Yeah.
So for our farmers and ranchers, we've increased the business equipment tax from the exemption from $100,000 to $300,000. Now, so farm equipment up to $300,000 will not be taxed anymore in Montana. This is on our way to eliminating the business equipment tax for small business entirely. This is our first incremental step. Think of it as a down payment. We've brought down the highest income tax bracket significantly with two pieces of legislation, both 159 and 399. Over the next couple of years, it's going to come from 6.9% down to 6.5%. And then we've also provided property tax relief, broad base for all Montanans, and some extra funds targeted specifically at low-income folks at risk of losing their house because of increased property tax. So I'm pleased to have done this. This is part of the Montana comeback. We've more to do. As I say, there's still a few rocks in the rock pile, but this is a great down payment on making Montana more competitive.
It comes to with a price tag. I'm not sure, and I don't have that figure in front of me. I apologize for that. Lowering taxes will lower income on one hand, but I believe that there's hope that it will inspire income on another.
Well, by lowering these taxes, we're leaving money in Montanans' pockets. And we did this in a very thoughtful way without cutting any such essential services. In fact, we made investments in increasing teacher pay, investing in trades education. We created a program that's going to create about a thousand trade scholarships across the state.
Yeah.
And the largest investment we've made was in mental health and addiction recovery through our HEART Fund. I know you're going to be talking about that on Monday. We'll now have a program that'll provide up to $24,000 a year to community-based organizations that are helping people recover from addiction, get back on their feet, and be productive members of society. And we did all of this in a budget that grows less than 1% per year. Tax reform, investments where we need them, and preserving essential services.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte here with us on Voices of Montana. Let's talk about that budget a little bit, too. But that's always a process that it's a lengthy process, and there are a lot of people that have valid input on it. And you propose a budget, but it actually is the House of Representatives and the legislative branch that is going to enact that budget. Your thoughts on that process and the outcome?
Well, I want to give a shout-out to Kurt Almey, our budget director, Billings native, grew up in Miles City. He left the U.S. attorney job to come to the governor's office to be our budget director. And he was tireless in shepherding this budget through. I got sworn in on Tuesday, Tom. I had to produce my first budget on Friday, the same week. Fortunately, Kurt had started in December. We had had a month running start at it to put together a $2.6 billion budget in 3 days. That was a Herculean task. And then we turned it over to the legislature, and they had their will with it. But we had to continue on a daily basis, work with them. I think the key word is collaboration. We've shown that the Republican leadership in the House, in the Senate, working with a Republican governor, we can govern well. We protected essential services. We slowed the growth to well below inflation. In fact, less than 1%. It's 0.75 per year growth in the budget, while making investments in teachers and trades and addiction recovery. These are the things we need to be putting money into.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Lieutenant Governor Kristen Juris was also assigned a longer-term look at state spending, and I know that is going to look back a little bit, or mostly, I suppose. I'm just curious as to that process, Greg.
Yeah, so my first executive order was the Red Tape Relief Task Force, and it's going to be headed up by our lieutenant governor. She spent 38 years defending small businesses as a lawyer and farmers and ranchers. We've put the call out. We've had thousands of submissions of just excessive, abusive processes between state government and local businesses. I gave her 6 months to compile it. You know, Tom, if you sat down to read all the regulations in the state of Montana and you were diligent and you worked 8 hours a day at it, it would take you 7 weeks to get through them all. It's way too much. We need regulations to protect public safety. to protect the environment, but we got too much. So we're going to peel that back. She's heading that process up. We've reached out to about 60 associations for their input. We've assigned a person at each state agency that's turning over every single rock and reaching out to stakeholders. We want to streamline the way permits are done and bring some common sense back to the whole regulatory climate.
Yeah, and I know Kristen's going to do a great job with that. I'm really looking forward to that report. The number of those submissions, I think, is indicative of the concern that people have of maybe too much government in their lives. Governor Greg Gianforte, I've got to take a short break here and come on back. I want to put education on the plate because I think that was a big winner in this last legislative session. And also, I want to talk about infrastructure, in particular to St. Mary's. So we're back here with more. It is a wrap-up, so to speak. I mean, the interim will bring changes. We'll consider those things and keep following these bills as they are enacted here across Montana. But that's what's on the deck here for Voices of Montana. The governor and Senate President Mark Blaisdell and House Speaker Wiley Gault, who were on earlier in this hour, are going to be holding a press conference today to kind of mark the end of this 67th session. And that is available to the public. So just go to the governor's Facebook page. And it's Gianforte, G-I-A-N-F-O-R-T-E. You know how to spell it by now. It's going to begin around 10:30, 10:45, and I think that'll be it'll be real informative. The governor joins us here today on Voices. And again, Greg, I appreciate your time so much here. Let's hit education before we wrap it up, too, because I think you moved the ball forward in that degree.
We did, and in a number of ways. One is, and folks know this because I've talked about it so many times, Montana is 50th out of 50 states in starting teacher pay.
Yeah.
So I was really pleased to work with the legislature to get a bill passed that incents local school boards to increase starting teacher pay so we can become more effective. We also, when we did the business equipment tax, because that is property tax that goes locally, we backfilled the local funds that go to pay for our schools out of the general fund to make sure those public schools are strong. We also have some legislation coming to me that's going to increase parental choice for education so that particularly for low-income folks, if they want to do something different, they can find the education that's best for their kids. This is milestone legislation. I'm excited to sign it into law. That bill also provides for enhancing our public schools. So it's a balanced approach that takes care of our public schools and gives parental choice if they want to pick an independent school. So those are some of the things we've done on education in this session.
I know that's well received and very much appreciated all across the state. More than 20 years, I think the federal government has been kicking the can when it comes to reconstruction of the St. Mary's infrastructure project. You have talked about, and you're going to have a different insight on this too, because you served in Congress. You know what other folks are going to say from around the country when it says we need $200 million to repair this critical infrastructure. But Montana has a chance with this latest ARPA money, and then also possibly something directed toward that in this infrastructure spending. How do we get that money and get this infrastructure fixed?
Yeah, so this is a priority. I think the St. Mary's project is probably the number one water infrastructure project in the state. So one of the things the legislature did with this American Rescue Plan money, and first, let me say, this Biden American Rescue Plan Act, you know what the acronym is? BARFA. And it's very appropriate because this is excessive spending. It's reckless spending. This is going to be saddled on the shoulders of our kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
The printing presses are not going to stop in Washington, D.C. And now, I'm sorry to go off here a little bit, but the Biden administration this week, you know, proposing more reckless spending. But that, as it is, as Montanans, and given this money's coming to us, understand it's the amount of money in this American Rescue Plan Act is more than the annual general fund in the state of Montana. So what we've done working with the legislature in a collaborative way is we've created four buckets for the money. Infrastructure, water and sewer is one of those buckets. We've set up a steering committee to decide which projects are in, which ones are out. In my mind, and the governor's office has three people on this board. There's three senators. There's three representatives. It's bipartisan. We're going to make the decisions on how to spend this money. The second bucket is economic development. I think we should be incenting people to come back to work instead of paying them to stay home. Thirdly, then, there's money for health and human services, particularly with addiction recovery as it relates to the people being quarantined over the course of the last year. And the fourth bucket is broadband. I think that's a good, effective. If we're going to saddle this on our kids and grandkids, we better be invested in infrastructure that they're going to be benefiting from. That's what we've done working with the legislature.
Yeah, and I appreciate those thoughts, too, and those comments, because I know that if Montana doesn't spend it, other states are going to grab it up, and it's just our hands are tied in that regard. And we have talked here on the program, too, that we're very concerned about that kind of investment. Just about 30 seconds here, Governor. I always ask, it's the weekend upcoming. What do you got? You going to do something fun? How's Dominic?
I have a trip planned first week of June to go see Dominic.
All right.
Richard and Chrissy just got two foster kids last week. Oh. The family went from one to three. Really pleased about that. But I'm on a hike this weekend. I'm going to stretch my legs a little bit.
Nice idea. Thank you, Greg. Say hello to Susan and be well, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
And thank you all for joining us here. Eric Young, our most excellent Nubius in-studio engineer. It's the weekend. All right. Go out and enjoy the go. And we'll see you Monday. Suicide prevention. Okay, it's a big show.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.